It's the new Thought Police. It's the Tammy Bruce Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. In about an hour, the Attorney General is going to announce the dropping of all charges against the rape suspects in the Duke LaCrosse rape case. It is a remarkable situation after all this time and those lives ruined. And one blogger has been sticking to this and talking about it. And she, I'm going to need you guys to bring up Sister Told You for me on your end. Sister Told You, you can get her blog at sistertoldyou.com, SisterToldJah.com. Welcome back to the program, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Tammy, long time no talk to.
Yeah, it's been a while, and what I love is being able to have you on to talk about some level of justice in this case, finally. Can you let everybody know what's happened here and what we're expecting later in the day and what your feelings are about it?
Well, the NC Attorney General's office is supposed to hold a press conference this afternoon around 2:30, and he's expected to announce that the remaining charges against the Duke LaCrosse players who were accused of rape, kidnapping, and sexual offense have been dropped. The rape charges were dropped last December, but he held on, held on to the other two because the accuser at that time changed her story and claimed she was no longer sure that she had been penetrated during the attack, the alleged attack. So,
you know, there have been, it's funny, I think a lot of bloggers have been dealing with this, and there is a sense, especially among the women bloggers, there's at first there's a little bit of conflict. I mean, because we do want rape to be taken seriously, and very often, of course, the opposite happens where it's not. From your sense with the coverage that I've seen, what do you think this is going to do to the way people do view rape accusations? Because it's been the perennial problem we've had, because it's a crime that usually takes place in private. Men say that they get mixed signals. Here you had essentially a stripper, dealing with going there and being paid to do certain things, and a DA that seemed to almost go overboard in wanting to, in a way, pander to the idea that either women never lie or these situations are always true. What do you think? Do you think this will have a long-term impact on the way rape is viewed, or am I reading too much into it?
No, I think you're right, Tammy. I think it's going to have a lasting impact on accusations, legitimate accusations that come from women who have been raped. There's certainly, although, we've had a victory today, obviously, for the three players that were accused, long-term, this doesn't bode well for legitimate accusations of rape that are made, and it could mean that some women who actually have been raped in the future may not come forward because, they'll be afraid that they won't be believed because of stories like this one.
Well, the thing is, if you are telling the truth, though, if this woman was telling the truth, mm-hmm. we would not be in this situation right now. You know, usually you figure these kinds of accusations get vetted by many different people in a DA's office, and you trust the process. Do you think we're being too romantic? I mean, I'm a Law and Order kind of gal. I don't know if you're a romantic about Law and Order. I do presume, and maybe this is my mistake, that people in positions of authority generally are good and want to do well, and I can't say that that's the case for this Nifong. Do you trust law enforcement in general or not?
I do trust law enforcement, Tammy. I think this case is an exception to the rule. You had right around the time that the accusations were made by the stripper against the players, there was an election going on. Actually, primary was going to be happening in May of last year. And Durham is a very liberal city. It's pretty much controlled by liberals, and most of the time when people vote there, they vote for liberals. Mike Nifong is a Democrat who wanted to keep his place as the district attorney in Durham, and essentially what he was willing to do was to destroy the reputations of three innocent people in his quest to retain power. And once he passed the primary, once he made it beyond the primary where he did face opposition, he was free and clear because he faced no opposition last November.
You know, but the funny thing is, it's almost as though for liberals, which really is the left, and people pandering to that, it's almost as though it was almost the reverse racism, that he couldn't question the claims of this black woman, that there is some sort of absolute moral authority in certain ways, when it comes to four liberals of accusations that they're presumed to be true because there's a presumption that all white men or all athletes or all men who are accused of rape have raped. And it's as though that now our society has devolved to such a degree that even law enforcement in some fashion can't question what certain minority groups might claim without being perhaps attacked or being accused of, you know, racism, sexism, or homophobia.
Well, that's true. And in this case, you had an example of a minority who was making an accusation of rape against three rich white guys who were attending a prestigious university. And, you know, you had Nifong out there proclaiming their guilt. You had the Duke faculty and Duke, although I love the Blue Devils there, the Duke faculty is a liberal college. Mm-hmm. And you had 88 faculty members who were around during the case when it was in its heyday. They were they placed an ad in the Duke Chronicle condemning the players. This was just several days before the
report
came back that, you know, did not implicate any of the players in the alleged attack. So, you know what? The absolute moral authority card gets played every time a minority is involved. You know, generally, if you have a minority making an accusation or a minority making racial statements or degrading statements toward Jews or what have you, they generally aren't questioned. And it's
Yeah, the additional example is happening right now in front of us, which is the Don Imus comments, which were reprehensible about the Rutgers basketball team, versus the swamping of our society with the hip-hop and rap music lyrics by black men, which call black women worse things moment after moment, day after day, year after year, and nothing is said.
Well, that's true. Not only that, but some of these same rappers, I mean, they're elevated to the status of Grammy Award winners. Their CDs make it to the top of the charts. You know, their sales are through the roof. And this is something I wrote about on my blog yesterday, is that Don Imus made a comment. Yes, it was wrong. I'm glad he apologized, but it was stupid of him to go on the Al Sharpton show because, you know, come on. I mean, someone apologizing for making a racist comment in front of Al Sharpton is ridiculous because he's one of the biggest race baiters.
Exactly. The irony, the people getting the irony of, you talk about the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, to go to Al Sharpton, who... Imus is behaving as though he's at his first year in a radio show. Listen, he needs to be able to explain and maybe say sorry and then move on in some fashion and then let the chips fall where they may.
Oh, I agree. This has been totally overblown. You know, you've got Sharpton's calling for him to be fired, and you get the usual suspects in the blogosphere, the lefty blogosphere, you know, playing selective criticism, you know, with this and saying that he should be fired, too, when... Several months ago, when John Edwards hired a couple of bloggers, potty mouth bloggers, to basically run his new media campaign, who would put a lot of the rappers to shame that we hear today, were defended for, you know, on free speech grounds by these same people. So there's a lot of hypocrisy floating around, a lot of double standards. This is just the same old, different day.
You know, I'll tell you, there's this is, well, these are singular events in a way. We can really attach them into as kind of microcosmic examples of what we're dealing with across the country in this culture war. And Sister Tolja, I want to thank you so much for coming on and giving us this perspective, because not just as women, or if someone identifies as a feminist, or if people really concerned about the quality and depth of black young women's lives, all of this, just talk about backfiring when it comes to special interest groups and how it eventually harms all of us as women and as a community in general. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it, dear.
Thanks, Tammy.
Yeah, great job. And you put her on hold there, and just as a reminder again, hers is a blog besides, of course, visiting mine, which I know all of you do, Sister Told Ya. .com, SisterToldJah.com. My name is Tammy Bruce. I'll be right back.